and welcome back to another edition of the podcast. I'm your host, as always, Shane Told. This is called Lead Singer Syndrome, a podcast where I take you into those backstage conversations. You get to be a little fly on the wall, listening to all these things that we say. And today, we have such a great episode. Nothing Nowhere, aka Joe himself, is here. We did this one live on Twitch. It was a good time. So much to talk about. Right in front of me, I have this page that I wrote down with all these notes, but my favorite note is Renaissance Man. And let me tell you, that is 100% true. This guy does a lot of stuff. He's good at a lot of stuff, but his music is kind of taken over right now, and people are very excited about it. I'm excited about it, and I can't wait for you to hear this conversation. Before we get into that, a couple orders of business. Like I said, this was recorded live on Twitch, and every single Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I have great guests chatting with me live on video, with audio. You can interact with them. It's completely free. Don't sleep on Twitch. Just this past week, I had Jacoby Shaddix of Papa Roach. That's going to be coming up in a couple weeks right here. But if you checked it out on Twitch, you would have already seen it. Completely unedited. And did I mention it's completely free? I did. So get on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ShaneTold. Do not sleep on it. I'm going to give you that URL one more time because I am really, really serious about this. Twitch.tv/ShaneTold. I want to give an absolutely massive, massive shout out to all my homies, all my people, all over the world, all the members of the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. And hey, if you want to join, if you want to become a member, if you want bonus episodes, bonus content, if you want to be a part of an incredible community, check it out. LeadSingerSyndrome.com/all access. Just for as little as $6 a month, that gets you in, gets you some perks, and it really does help me out too, running this thing, spending hours editing and all that other stuff that I do every week. So I really do appreciate everyone in the club. Love y'all. Miss y'all. Because we used to have these great meetups too, man. I'd be on tour and every day we'd meet for beers before the show and we'd have sinner fests, whether it was Texas or Virginia or whatever. And man, we haven't done that in a long time and I really miss you guys. So thanks for the love. It means everything. In other news with me, well, Silverstein, we've been teasing a new thing. Stay tuned. April 15th, Bankrupt coming at you. That's exciting. Head over to Spotify, pre-save it, do what you gotta do. Our first new song in a while. I'm pretty excited about it. Also, don't forget, if you want to get in touch with me, you can. You can email me, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. I read them all. I try to get back to everybody too. Some weeks are tougher than others, but hit me up because I will definitely read whatever you write to me, whether it's ideas for upcoming guests, any kind of feedback at all. I love it. I love it so much. All right. Well, without further ado, let's get to it. My conversation with Joe, aka Nothing Nowhere. I did it all in my own, no promo. I got fans getting tags on my logo. I remember when nobody came to my shows, but I kept on coming back like a yo-yo. In high school, they would laugh, try to label. Eating lunch with nobody at my table. Everyone I used to doubt got a day job. I just made a few stacks off a merch drop. It's about time that they go and take me serious. If you not feeling this, you probably delirious. I'm on one. Joe, what's up, man?
What up, dog?
How you doing?
Chilling. How you doing?
Good. I'm a little better now that I've got some gifted subs from Nothing X Nowhere.
I got you, dude. I'm in the Twitch game. I understand the grind.
I'm excited for this one, man. This is going to be a good chat.
Yeah, dude. This is a trip for me. I'm doing my younger idol podcast tour. I was on Buddy from Santa's Fails podcast, and now I'm on yours.
Oh,
and
cool.
I'm just doing the rounds, man.
Yeah, man. No, Buddy. Jeez, I go way back with Buddy. I see, doing some research for this, making sure, I do my homework for this shit, but I hear you talking about Census Fail and Thursday and Alexis on Fire and all these bands. I haven't heard you bring up Silverstein. Did you ever listen to Silverstein at all?
Dude, oh my God. Discovering the Waterfront was every day, just like, oh my God, my mom, whenever I'm listening to heavy music and my mom's around, she has this recurring joke where she's like, is this Silverstein? And I'm like, no, this isn't Silverstein. Like, you know what I mean? Cause I listened to it so much growing up that she just, I tortured my mom with that album. Sorry, mom.
I love it. I love it. Shout out to your mom. Hi, mom. That's so amazing. Dude, thanks for doing this. And, I actually talked to your manager, Avange, yesterday, which isn't something I always do before I get to talk to an artist. And that's cool because obviously she knows you really well. And I don't know if you know this, but Avange used to book our band when she was a booking agent.
No, I knew that you guys knew each other, but I didn't know that connection. That's a huge trip.
Yeah, it's crazy. So when we first got going, 2003, our first record came out and nobody would book us. We were on Victory Records, which was stay away kind of curse, strangely enough. And Avange was the only one, fate of booking. And it's so great to see her, obviously in the management side and managing artists like yourself. And that was really cool. But it was really, her talking about you so with so much love, it's a really cool thing. It really painted a picture of who you are. And it made me kind of even more excited to talk to you just one-on-one, just person to person, not like a music journalist or whatever,
Yeah, that's crazy. Yvonne somehow knows everyone. She's been in the game for so long, and she is putting on for all the girl bosses in the industry. So we stand Yvonne over here. That's so rad.
It was really great to catch up with her, man. But let's jump in. Let's talk about everything going on, man. Obviously, congrats on the new record. Just came out, a couple weeks ago now? Trauma Factory.
Yeah, thank you.
How are you feeling now that that's out? There's always this weird weight lifted maybe that now it's out in the public?
Yeah, I don't know how to feel. I mean, I feel you with the weight lifting thing. I don't know. You're always nervous. You're not sure how people are going to react. You work on a piece for so long and then it's finally out and you're okay, what am I going to do now? And I mean, it's weird not touring off of it now. It's super weird.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just trying not to just browse reviews and comments every single day get on that vibe.
Yeah.
But people are liking it, man. And I'm hyped and what more can you ask for? Pretty sick.
for sure. I mean you're no stranger to variety, in your records and your music. You wear a lot of hats, but this record seems to maybe take it a bit of a step further. I don't know if you'd agree with me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different shit on here. Obviously you reach the point, when I listened to the record the first time and I got to Fake Friend, which is great track. Obviously it's single and it's doing really well. I was like, okay, this is a bit of a different direction. And then you get to Death right after. And it's whoa, this record has just done a 360 all of a sudden. And I mean, does that add to the level of anxiety that you feel when you put it out? Or is it just maybe your fans are diverse too and they're into that?
Yeah, I got to a point where I tested the waters of experimentation for a minute. And I remember when I released Hammer, which is my biggest song now. I was so afraid. I was dude, people are going to rip this to shreds. Cause they want to hear the reverb acoustic, weird thing that I was doing. And, And then once I was like, oh, okay, like people like this. And then I test the water some more, like release that track Nightmare. And then I kept kind of experimenting and I was like, oh, people are just down with whatever. So I, for this album, I wasn't really worried about that. I was like, why not just like completely send it? Why not have like a new metal track and like, you know, like an R&B pop song on the same record?
No, and I think it works. That's the amazing part. I read another interview that you said you had 100 songs for this. Now, if anyone listens to this podcast, whenever somebody throws out a number like that, like I'm going to say whenever someone says they have more than 20, I'm like, okay, like you say you had 30, 40, 100 songs. Did you really have 100 songs or did you have like 100 bits? Like, ideas that could have been 30 seconds, because it really does vary to a huge degree whether it's like, okay, I have 100 songs or I have 100 ideas.
I had 88 finished songs.
Whoa.
So yeah, 88 finished songs, and then 100, like probably over 100 of just like, you know, unfinished songs or whatever. So yeah, I was going hard.
That's crazy though. Like I just can't even imagine, like I don't even know if I've written 88 songs in my life. Like, I mean, maybe I have now, but like I feel like that's almost impossible to narrow that down and not miss a piece of yourself. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're holding back something.
Totally. Yeah. And I might have learned my lesson this time, because it was like, I was like, you know, like a lot of people who like really follow me and like are really up to date, like I'll post snippets, which like I've learned is probably not a good thing, because I'll post like a snippet of a song on Instagram and people are so bummed when it's not released. And I'm like, well, you wouldn't have even known it existed if I didn't post anything. So
at least they have that.
Yeah, man. I feel you. Like I just write so many songs because I don't know what else to do. I don't know. Like I don't really like do anything else. So it keeps me busy.
No, this is great, man. And I want to talk all about that and everything that you're doing, because Avanj gave me some inside stuff that I want to ask you about.
Oh, no.
No. She's got
the tea.
She called you a Renaissance man, which I thought was amazing. I'm like, damn, that is.
I need a powdered wig and like a frilly jacket.
Put that in your Instagram profile for sure, dude. That is top tier compliment right there. But while we're still on talking about this record, vocally, you have so many things you can do with your voice. You know, this is the Lead Singer Syndrome podcast, obviously. Like, when you approach a song, is it ever tricky to go, okay, like, is this a part I'm going to sing on or rap on or, like, even maybe scream on? How aggressive do I go? Is that a vibe thing? Or how do you usually take that into account when you're just working on something?
I just kind of wing it. I think like it stems from like playing guitar and like whatever the riff sounds like. You know how it is, like when you write a song and it's like just kind of comes to you, you know what I mean? And I learned to follow my intuition to a point where if I feel like I'm forcing anything, I just abandon it. Like sometimes I'll like try and like flesh out ideas more, but if I'm like, I kind of like this, I just abandon it. Whatever vocal style I'm going for, it's just kind of like however I feel that morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. The one I'm trying to like recently, I'm trying to learn how to scream, like actually scream. That's like the hardest thing.
You sounded pretty good on death.
Yeah, thanks. But like, I actually blew out my vocal cords and I had to cancel half of a tour because of that. So I don't know what I'm doing with that. But yeah, man, I just like seeing what my voice can do. Like what are the limits of like your own personal like voice and range, you know?
No, I love it. So you bring up your guitar playing and yeah, I see you got like, looks like three Telecasters right behind you, you know, a couple singers with guitars in their background. Like, are we overcompensating for something? I don't know. but talk to me about your history a little bit. Maybe we should go back. You know, you brought up your mom. You know, listening to bands like, I guess I can say Silverstein now, it's official. But, you know, playing guitar, growing up in Massachusetts, what was it like, you know, your upbringing, I guess? I know, obviously, like I heard you were a huge New England Patriots fan, but also really into music. Mm-hmm. What was that like, you know, your whole thing, you know, as a kid?
So I grew up just like weird, anxious art kid, liked drawing, you know, loved music and really got into like your whole scene. Like, I remember you guys had like the, I was like My Heroin video or something on like, it was on demand.
Not a good video, but yes, go on.
It was rad. It was like on demand or something. And yeah, I just have fond memories of like coming home and like watching that on TV and my cats drinking my water and no coming home on TV and like seeing you guys play and like watching like the Note to Self video from first to last mm-hmm. and like dreaming and daydreaming. Like I was a big daydreamer, like just being in class and like being like, I wonder if I could do what Shane does someday, or like, you know, if I could actually do that. Cause I don't want to love my dad, but he's like an accountant and I don't necessarily want to do that.
sure. Yeah.
You know, so yeah, just growing up, man, and getting into guitar when I was 12 and like being a little emo kid.
So your parents are still together then? You had kind of like a normal upbringing?
Yeah. Super normal, like suburban Massachusetts, like kind of devoid of any like culture or like diversity, like, you know, like sad, like suburban shit. And like, it was like uninspiring, but simultaneously very inspiring because of how like banal and like gray everything was, you know, but right. You know, it was in your normal American kind of deal.
No, for sure. I mean, I'm kind of the same, man. Like I'm from suburbs of Toronto.
Yeah.
My parents are together, like, but it always made for a weird thing, like, and maybe I'm getting a little too deep or whatever, but it's like there was a question, right, when the band started getting popular, where people would ask me these questions. They'd be like, okay, so your parents are still together, mm-hmm. what else, like, and I'm like, I don't know, just I like music and sports, and I was, you know, whatever, and as a kid, okay. And it's like, well, you're trying to get some dirt on me, right? Like, because you want to sell me as something. You want to, like, oh, I'm sorry, I was never addicted to heroin. You know, I wasn't abused as a kid or whatever. Like, and I feel like you're the same way. Whereas in some way, obviously, like, we know you've talked in depth about your struggles with anxiety and those kinds of issues you've had. But in a lot of ways, it's like, you're not out there talking about drugs like some of the people in your scene are, or you're not glorifying that, or partying, or celebrity girlfriend, or, well, maybe, I don't know, but you know, like all that kind of stuff, like it isn't sexy in the way that people want it to be in the industry. Is that something that you ever think about, or not at all?
Totally. Like, you know, I'm always like worrying and thinking about things constantly. Like, I know this the other day of how, like, you were just talking about how people want to sell you and they want a story and they want something more than the music. And like, the older I get, the more I realize that like your story is almost more important to a lot of journalists and like people who kind of gatekeep that stuff than the actual music is. And that was for one reason why I came out of making music. I was faceless for a long time, because I wanted to build a foundation that says like, hey, I can make substantial music and like, you can judge me on that. And like I was just going to say, like, I feel like if you want to be a quote unquote successful musician, whatever that is, I feel like it's 60% your image, your antics, like what you do in that respect. And it's like 40% the music. And like, I don't agree with that. Like, that's just the philosophy that I've sort of felt more and more that I believe that's what's happening. So yeah, if we're just like regular dudes, like growing up, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe we'd have like cooler articles if we were like, used to be like in like some like freak show circus traveling thing or something. I don't know.
No, 100%. Especially, I always, you know, reference the UK, because the UK is like the most press driven country ever, you know, and no offense to Kerrang or whatever, but like the last time we were over there, I guess it was like a year ago, and Kerrang wanted to do an article on me, and they're like, give me the dirt. And I had this thing. Okay. Yeah. I went through like a pretty hard time. That's what they wanted to talk to me about when I went through my own, you know, bout of depression and that, right. Like, and that is what, you know, is exciting, to them. And to you, it's real. right? I mean, you've canceled shows, you know, tours because you've suffered with crippling anxiety and panic attacks. How are you doing now with all that? Obviously, we've had a year off. Has that been good for you?
You know what? I think it has been good. You know what I mean? It's never a bad time to like work on yourself and like work on your mentality and your spirituality and you know, oil up kind of the pieces to the engine of your mind or whatever. And I feel like, I'm chilling right now. I'm doing good. I just take it one day at a time. Like for me, at least, like I can't miss being physically active or I miss a meditation or like I have to check a lot of boxes for me. And some people can just go through life and just chill. For me, I'm like, you know, like an old Toyota that has like, I don't know, like 400,000 miles. And like, you need to constantly check, like my engine light is always on. So like, you know, but like I said, like, I'm just taking it like a day at a time and like, just trying to really like figure out what it is that I want in my future and like, just do it for the art. You know what I mean? Just make music and stay in today. You know, how are you doing with all this?
How am I doing? Well, dude, I mean, it's been a weird year for sure. Because, you know, this week, everybody's been talking about how it was a year since everything got shut down. And for us, we were in the middle of 20th anniversary tour, you know, like 10 shows in and had to go home. And, you know, like the way we're raised, I'm sure the way you were raised too, it's like, it's punk rock. The show must go on. It doesn't matter. If we have to drive 24 hours in a snowstorm to make the show, we do it, you know? And to have that check, like, no, you can't. It was very deflating and very hard to deal with, right? And at first it was tough, and then I kind of got used to it, but man, this week's been weird. I've been waking up every day with a tremendous amount of anxiety, thinking to myself, wow, it's a year, and it's worse. It's worse than it was.
Dude, I feel you. I'm definitely like I said, I take it a day at a time, but like, you know, like even like last week, like I thought of the same thing. I was like, it's coming up on a year. And I have this app on my phone where I kind of just like take a photo a day or whatever. And like, you could just see the photos just get boring, more boring and more boring. And I'm just like, dude, like, and like, not that, like, I don't think that being distracted all the time is a healthy coping mechanism, but touring is like a positive coping mechanism where you're distracted in a good way. And you're doing something worthwhile. Whereas, you know, idle time for someone like me, or even maybe you, is not always a great thing because you're just alone with your thoughts and your brain isn't always like your best friend, you know?
100%. We have a question here. What's the app called? I'm actually curious about that too.
Oh, it's Photo 365.
Okay.
Yeah, it's so old and so archaic.
Sometimes that's like the best ones.
Yeah, it was like probably made in like 2011, but it works.
That's the thing, right? For me, I said 20 years, that's how long my band's been at it. We haven't stopped really at all, except for writing and recording. And I'm not used to not having that support system. You know, like my dudes, you know, 12 of us on a bus, like that's what it is. There's always people around. And obviously, like, I'm, you know, I have a partner, I have a house, I have a cat, like I'm not completely alone here, but it's different.
Yeah.
And that to me is, I can do it. You know, I do it for a few weeks, maybe even a couple months, but to do it for a year, I miss people, man. I miss them. Like I do. And it's good for my own mental health too.
Yeah. And I have said this before, like I always consider myself super introverted and like a hermit and all that. But once you have the choice taken away, like I like to think that like, if I wanted to, I could go do something with social interaction. But for some reason, when the choice is taken away, it's just a whole different thing. You kind of feel like a prisoner in a way. Mm-hmm. I do live alone, and like my closest friend lives like 45 minutes away. So it's not ideal. But like I said, I try and just keep busy and like chop wood and stuff like that.
Well, yeah. Ivanch told me that, you spent summers in Vermont, I guess, as a kid, and now you live in Vermont. You bought your first home.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you live on like a farm and you've got maple trees and you're tapping some maple syrup and you're vegan, but you've got eggs from chickens and like all this stuff like going on. I mean, that seems like maybe a lot of work, but maybe it's good for you to keep busy on that front.
Yeah, totally. I mean, my Yvonne definitely doesn't like it when I disappear for hours because I'm doing like, you know, working with the chickens or like tapping trees. But for me, it's like, I need that. I need that connection to the land and to nature. And I know that Canada is the number one exporter in the world of maple syrup, but Vermont is at least the best in the US, but I got to get up there and see how you guys do it. Cause man, is it a headache. It is a process.
Yeah. That's really funny. But I bought some maple syrup the other day. It isn't something that I buy all the time. Cause it like, I feel like I eat pancakes like once a year. I'm vegan too, by the way, but,
oh, right.
So yeah, I found these awesome, they're just like, it just comes in a box. There are these vegan banana pancakes. It's just a mix. You just add water and it's delicious. But anyway, so I bought some maple syrup and I was looking at it and there was one on sale. So I was like, well, okay. Like, cause maple syrup is expensive. So I like looked at it and I was like, oh yeah, okay, I'll get this one. And then I saw on the back, it said product of USA. I was like, fuck that. Ooh. I am this. Don't take the last thing away from us. Okay. It's all we got.
I know. You guys got that in hockey and Tim Hortons.
That's right. Yes. Yes. Hockey and maple syrup are good. Tim Hortons is not good, but,
yeah, I had it once. They didn't have many vegan options. No. Yeah, so I didn't get the full experience. But
in Canada, they got all the Beyond stuff at Tim Hortons. So they had the Beyond, like you could get Beyond sausage breakfast sandwiches, and they had a Beyond burger, and they had all this stuff. And they were one of the first fast food chains to roll that out. And
yeah.
I was so like, I knew it wasn't going to work because they distributed it to like every single Tim Hortons in Canada, which, so there's like ones in the middle of nowhere. Like no one's going to buy that, you know,
no,
which was a bummer because it lasted, I don't know, maybe 3-4 months and now it's gone. They don't have it anymore.
You got to do it in like the cities or like, you know, the city suburbs at least, because I feel you. Like, yeah, I live in my town has like 2,000 people in it. And, you know, people would be like, what is this shit? You know what I mean? Like they would not be down with it.
Yeah. Well, I also heard you have a half pipe in your backyard. You still skate?
Yeah. Still skate, man. Actually, I got back into it recently. Shout out Hillary. She's like a crazy skater. And, just had like other friends that skate that got me into like back into it. And like, so much that I'm like trying to relearn tray flips and like just getting stoked again. And
nice.
Yeah. Do you skate?
Well, I'm 40. Can I answer?
Tony Hawk was throwing 900s right. in his 40s.
I am no Tony Hawk, that's for sure. No, I used to skate when I was a kid. I never got rid of my skateboards, so I still have them. Every now and then I'll step on it and like ride down the street. Maybe just so so I can show my neighbors that I'm still punk. That's mostly what it is. Cause yeah, I don't know. I like being the weird guy on my street. Anyway, that's another story, but no, I don't skate with any level of seriousness. I think just when I was a kid, I had a few pretty bad falls and that like, I just got scared of standing on a skateboard to sound like a wuss, but that's my skate history.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's good to have like things like that like make you feel like a kid still and like connect you to your past. Like,
yeah,
I still stay up at night, like playing video games with my friends. Like, I don't know. I feel like you never really grow up.
You really don't, man. That's like one thing I learned. I said I'm 40. I just turned 40 last month. And it's true. Like you always think, okay, I'm going to reach this age. I'm going to be like, I'm not going to make the same mistakes. I'm going to be smarter. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to desire different things. And like, you don't really like, maybe you get a little bit smarter. You get a little more comfortable in your own skin kind of, but you don't really ever lose that excitement. And like, I still have you know, all these punk rock, punk shows, like posters behind me and stuff. Like, that's still my shit, man. That's, I'll never grow out of that. I'll never grow out of those records. And it's just, it means so much to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree, man. Like, I don't know, whatever, like, keeps that spark going. And like, I don't know, just doing new things. And like, dude, I bought Beyblades the other day. Beyblades were like this thing when I was a kid where it's like, you rip it and they fucking like run into each other. And I'm like, I was at Walmart with my homie and we were just getting food. And I was like, dude, they got Beyblades. And he was like, let's go.
And, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Dope.
No, man. Yeah. No, man. I love it. I love it. So one
but
thing,
dude,
that, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. I just wanted to say, like, growing up, like, I haven't fully said it, but like Silverstein is like, when I think of Silverstein, I think of that warm embrace of childhood. You know what I mean? Like, I used to draw like the robot with like the, like the heart and the hand and everything. And like, am I making this up, or were you guys in Amped, the video game?
Oh, we might've been. We might have been. We were in like a lot of random video games that they never told us we were going to be in. And then I would get emails being like, oh yeah, heard about you in NCAA baseball or something. I'm like, that's even a game? Okay. Like, so we might have been in it. I'm not sure, man, but
I think it was Red Light Pledge, but yeah, it was
okay.
That was, I don't know, man. Like, yeah, I have to fan out a couple times during this conversation just so we keep it real.
I love it. That's cool, man. No, it means a lot. Maybe you need to draw, like, we need to have a Nothing Nowhere Silverstein merch collab where you draw the robot like from your own memory.
Oh no.
Or something like that. Like your own interpretation of it. That would be that would be something that would be sick. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just spitballing.
That's what I did instead of doing my homework.
Well, hey, it paid off, man. I mean, your merch line that you design yourself is like super sick. It's almost like a more like a clothing brand. You know, it's something that you seem to take very seriously, and your fans do too. And all the stuff you have is really, really beautiful. Was that by design to make it seem very special? Because like I look on there and I'm like, oh man, all these shirts are sold out. Like, and I'm like, I'm fucking, well, I want to order something, you know, like it's, it seems really cool.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, I definitely work with a lot of different designers and like, we'll give just mood boards and stuff like that. You know, we work with a lot of really talented people, but I think in terms of merch, like I've always been really into clothes and like, fashion, whatever. Like I just love weird stuff. And like when I started shipping out t-shirts and hoodies from my room, like my parents, like the room I grew up in when I started Nothing Nowhere,
yeah,
I would go to the post office with all the things and whatever. And it's grown and grown. And I wanted to just make something like that people could wear, like, even if they didn't even know my music, you know, just something that's rad and like something to get stoked on. Like, in the same way that I used to get stoked at like CCS skate catalogs, like, and just like circle what I wanted. And like, yeah, I just wanted to make something like different and like cool. Like we like gave custom kombucha to fans, like a month ago that we brewed called Nightmare Fuel. And like, I just I like doing weird stuff like that.
That's a new one. I haven't heard of that at all. That's really cool, man. Well, you know, you've been, How do I phrase this? You've been really cutting edge on a lot of things that you've done. Obviously, we're talking about kombucha, which is just like totally out there. But maybe that's in your personality too, because musically, you know, you did the collabs with Travis Barker and Pete Wentz and Black Bear. You know, you did that stuff kind of before everyone was doing it. And I feel like you don't get enough credit sometimes for this stuff. Like now everyone's talking about, oh, Machine Gun Kelly, Travis Barker's playing. And it's like, you're like, I did that. You know, like, is there, do you ever think about that stuff? Like, cause I feel like you're underrated.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, underrated, rated, overrated. I don't really know. I think I've been fortunate enough to be in situations where, you know, I'm, ahead of the curve on a lot of things, kind of doing some, I just like to keep things fresh and keep things new.
Yeah.
A lot of the times that's, you know, early and stuff like that. And that's cool. I don't know. I try not to trip on stuff like that. I'm just like happy that like, you know, I have like a portfolio of like doing cool stuff like early. Like that was like when I was younger, like who knew the cool band first, or like who like had the new skate DVD before anyone else. It's like, I don't know, man. I'm just stoked. Like the people who rock with me and support me, like they go super hard for me. And like, that's what matters to me at the end of the day, for sure.
It's cool. But I mean, you're like nerding out on me like a little bit. I can't even imagine you a few years ago meeting Pete Wentz or Travis Barker. Like these are icons, man. They're, like I've known Pete Wentz for like 20 years almost. And like, 17 years I've known Pete Wentz. And like, I'm still like nervous around the guy because it's Pete Wentz. You know what I mean? Like there's these, like all these, like I just can't imagine walking into that situation as a new artist being like, holy shit, I'm going to collab with these guys. Like, how did that feel?
Fucking weird. Yeah, like bizarre. Yeah, I remember first time I met Pete, Yvonne called me and she was like, yo, Pete Wentz heard your music. He really likes it. And I was like, that's funny. I just like brushed it off. And, you know, time went by and I was just doing nothing. I don't know, procrastinating something. And she texted me. She's like, yo, Pete's going to call you in like 15 minutes. I was like, Pete Wentz is going to call me? She's like, yeah, Pete's going to call you. And I was like, damn, like this is terrifying. And he called me and like 2 minutes went by and I was like, oh, like it's like I'm just talking to anyone else, you know what I mean? Like it was so natural, but like there's still like times where I do trip out big time. Like, and then working with Travis, like getting to go to his house and like, you know, just like eating dinner with him and like recording in his studio at his crib, like there was just moments where I'd be like, go to the bathroom or something and just like look in the mirror and be like, what is we doing? Like just like tripping out. I don't know. Like when you're younger, like you think you can do it and like make it and like do cool stuff, but there's always a doubting mind. You know what I mean? And like the fact that these things are happening, I'm just like, I don't get it. Like I deserve it? Like, I don't know. There's like so many different emotions.
Yes, you do, Joe. Yes, you do deserve it. you know, you're extremely popular and you're critically acclaimed and you're good. I mean,
thanks.
I don't know. Maybe the only thing is that, and I don't know if you need, you know, I'm not going to try to pull quotes from you or shit. I don't do that on this show, but like the genre that you're in, that you're associated with, emo rap, whatever people want to call it, there's a lot of shit out there. And I'm not gonna tell you to throw your peers under the bus or whatever, but there's a lot of music in that genre that it's kind of phoned in, you know, and your music really isn't. You seem like you obsess over every note, every sound, you know. Hey, you put auto-tune on it, but like you are like making sure everything is perfect. It's not like, oh, slap an autotune on it and I'm going to fix this kind of mediocre or shitty performance. You don't do that, but you somehow will get lumped in with other artists that maybe don't take it as seriously or really just aren't as good as you. Do you ever think about that as well? I feel like you must.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be put into a box or whatever. I know like people need to categorize stuff and it's just bizarre to be put on playlists and stuff like that, I guess, that artists and songs that sound nothing like you, but because there's like an electronic kit and a guitar, it's like, this is the same, you know what I mean? I think I tripped out about that a lot more when I was first coming up, especially when like, when I first started doing it and then everyone started doing it and then it fucking started blowing up and I was tripping about a lot of stuff like that. And then I just was like, you know, getting a little older, I'm like, whatever, dude, I'm just going to make cool music and have fun with my friends in the studio and like call it what you want, you know?
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, it's a tricky thing, right? When you're, especially like, I don't know, we used to get mixed up with Senses Fail like all the time. Partly because we came up at the same time and our band names both start with S's. So like people would literally see me on the street and be like, oh, Senses Fail. Oh yeah. No, I love your song. And I'd be like, oh, that, well, that I'm in the other band. And like, yeah. And it's fine. Like, I, you know, we toured a Senses Fail and they're our friends and everything. But at the same time, it's like, okay, it's different though. And you know what I mean? Like, we're doing different things and it can feel, I don't know. It kind of sucks. I don't know how to really describe it.
Yeah, because you have your own individual perspective and your own like way of doing things, and it is kind of like, it feels like unintentionally shitty to like be lumped into something else that you don't feel represents you or speaks to you. But I mean, it's always up to the people, I guess. Like, we don't have a say in it, like, which is like, I can say all I want, hey, I make experimental music, but at the end of the day, like every other day, I'm gonna have an article that says emo rapper nothing nowhere, and I'm just gonna be like, okay,
yeah, exactly cool. Right, but then so much of that stuff, like, you know, the drugs, the alcohol, the partying, you know, you're a straight edge vegan guy that lives on a farm with your chickens and maple trees.
That sounds so funny, that sentence.
I mean, I'm not wrong though, am I?
No, you're not. You're not. You're not.
But does that make you feel like you're even more in your own, I don't want to say your own world, but in your own space? You know, as an artist?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't fit in on tours with bands, and I thought that I would fit in on tours with people who are doing the same thing as me, but I don't even fit in with them because I'm not even doing what they're doing. Yeah. So, but I'd rather be that than like, you know, blending in with everyone else. Cause I feel like that's like cooler at the end of the day. And like, I don't know, I'd rather be more polarizing, like, than just like take it or leave it, you know? But it's a trip, dude. I don't know. I've done a lot of meditation and like whatever, like, you know, you're going to make art. People are going to call it what they want. It's going to piss you off. Just keep it rocking and keep playing guitar. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I love that, man. You have an old soul, I feel. Like, I don't know if that's a weird thing to say, but you seem wise beyond your years too. Even though, I mean, you're not that young, I guess. And you're, what are you, 28 now? You've been through it, but yeah, like the meditation and stuff, has that helped you just a lot? I mean, I've heard you meditate like every day or multiple times a day.
Yeah. It's something that, is really necessary for me because by default, like, I'm like, you know, singers and musicians, like, I feel like our brains, our neurons are firing really fast because there's some type of spiritual malady within us. And like, there's some type of lack that we're trying to fill with art and with music. And like, I realized like some years ago that like, when I first got into meditation, that my subconscious mind is like screaming at me, and I would have no idea unless I sat down and listened to it. And if I don't do that, then it's going to build and build and build, and I'm just going to be like overwhelmed with these subconscious like impurities. And there's always an analogy of like meditation is like mental hygiene, and it's like a shower for your mind. So for me, like, you know, if I don't meditate for days on end, like, my mind is going to be pretty darn stinky. So it's rad. Stinky, I don't know if you've ever messed with it or whatever, but, it's fun.
Yeah. I probably should, man. This isn't the first time I've done one of these podcasts and had an artist, actually another one of Avanche's artists actually was talking to me about meditation and how I should meditate and how it could change my life. Yeah, I think it was Joe from Knucklepuck actually was talking to me a lot about it. But yeah, it's just everyone named Joe meditates, right? Is that a thing? If your name's Joe, it's you
like
meditate.
When we go to the Joe like meeting every year, we kind of all we're like, we're gonna do this now, you know.
Just your average Joe. Yeah. Well, I'm going to, this is funny. I'm going to open up the chat to some questions. If anybody has any questions for Joe, throw them out there. I got a couple more though. Things I wanted to ask you about. The first thing was the One Takes record that you did. That's like a cool thing because there isn't as much what's the word? I don't know. Like, I feel like people don't really give a shit about that anymore. Cause you know, you go in the studio, you do things over and over again and everything's fixed and everyone's using like live tracks and everything. And here you are, an artist that's very much in a world of a studio. Like, I'm not saying you're just studio artist alone, but a lot of artists in your genre are, they don't tour as much. And here you are like, no, performing live is important. And I want to show that off.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you just got to flex on these kids. Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I'm probably older than some of these kids. I'm actually not some of them, but yeah. And then, like, I grew up where, like, going to shows and playing, like, being good at, like, making music was, like, a thing. Like, I'm not saying you have to play an instrument or be good at whatever, but, like, yeah, it's just, like, a different thing. Like, if you want to call yourself, like, a musician, like, be one. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, you don't have to, but, like, it's cool. It's cool to like play guitar and like play piano and like,
yeah,
just like try at least.
No, 100%, man. I have this thing. Oh yeah. You brought up the song Hammer and how it was, you had some anxiety about putting that song out and then people liked it. And I feel like right as that song was like popping off, that's actually when you went through some of your own bouts with anxiety and stuff. Do you ever feel like that song, despite it being like your number one song on Spotify or whatever, it didn't get its full due?
Yeah, I don't know. There were talks, I think, of that song being pushed to like radio and like bigger avenues with bigger audiences. And that was kind of that moment. But we kind of all decided that I wasn't ready to go there yet. Mentally, and I'm glad that we didn't, because it was like you said, shortly after I really had to step back and cancel some tours and take some time for myself. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, it is like my biggest song. It's definitely my most like accessible song, I guess. It's just like so simple and whatever. But yeah, man, who knows? Who knows what could have been or whatever, but I'm just glad that I had the time to step back. Cause like, if I just kept going, I would have crashed and burned and maybe not even be making music right now.
Exactly. No, I'm really happy that you did that. And the new record is super good, man. I think it's your best one. Here's a question I would like to highlight. Will you do an official release of the old emo covers from when you were a teen? I'm curious for them outside of TikTok. And we did get an Owen cover, right? Never Meant on the One Takes record. That was sick.
Yeah, to answer that question, hell no. What this person is referring to is when I was like 13 or 12.
Oh, okay.
I would do emo covers of like, I have like Fergalicious and like 50 Cent and like, I put them on my MySpace and, it is so cursed, like so unbelievably cursed. So no, but I would love to branch out and do some more acoustic stuff and maybe some more covers.
Okay. I'm sorry I brought it up now. Not some kind of trigger for you, some embarrassment.
It's a meme.
Well,
making fun of myself.
People like it, I guess. There you go. This is from Let's Go Devils 63. He had tickets to both tours, got canceled, and he hasn't seen you yet. Hoping this Neck Deep tour will happen. Do you feel like that's going to be exciting to finally play for some people, because you've, over the last year, you've developed, you know, more and more of a following now? Is that going to be cool to be, you know, playing for people for the first time?
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be weird. I'll feel like a robot or something. Just getting back into it will be a trip. I'm sure the first show will be like nerve-wracking, but like I know everyone at the show is gonna go crazy, because we haven't, like, fans and artists, like, we haven't been able to do what we love to do in like so long. And when that finally happens, like, it's just gonna go off, I feel like. And I can't wait. I mean, I like to stay optimistic, but who knows what's gonna happen, you know. Dates are booked, fingers crossed, man, because I can only chop so much wood, you know.
are you getting jacked, man? Are you like swinging that axe?
I'm massive, dude. You know me. I'm like, you know, creatined out. No, I'm not.
Well, you are into fitness, though. Vonj mentioned that, too, that you are a bit of a fitness guy these days.
Yeah, I dabble. I got my bike and my punching bag and all, like, little home gym and whatever. And I do it mostly for my like, brain, because, like, if I don't do it, like, I'll not be okay. So I like doing it for my brain. I'm not out here like measuring food portions or anything like that.
Okay, you grew up a New England Patriots fan. You dreamed mm-hmm. of playing for the team one day. How did it feel this Super Bowl watching Tom Brady play for another team? Do you still fuck with Brady, or what's your feeling? I haven't asked too many New Englanders about this.
Yeah, I still love Brady. I love Tommy Touchdown. He's my guy. My dad hates him now. My dad will not watch it. It's very conflicting. I just like watching people who are amazing what they do. And like, that's why I like Brady. Like, I just love watching him do what he does and like kill it. And yeah, but there is a lot of saltiness coming out of New England and Boston for sure. Okay. Like, people are. I remember when it first happened, like my dad was like, "This fucking guy, fucking going down to Florida," like, and everyone was just like torn, dude. But yeah, you know, it happens. It's like, it happens. You yeah. know, that's like if Silverstein got a new, you know, lead singer.
Whoa, like, careful.
Oh, I would be like, what, dude? I would be like, what team is Shane going to now?
That's ridiculous. But no, it's funny you bring up Boston. Yeah, Boston sports. I remember we were on tour with Rise Against one time. This is like 07, and I'd never been to Fenway Park before. So it was a day game. So we were like, oh shit, like, let's go to Fenway Park. I'd like love to see it, you know, historic stadium. So we scalped the ticket. This is 2007. It was $100 to go in that place for standing room only. That's classic Red Sox. But like, the negativity that Boston sports fans had was just unrivaled. Like, they started the game, top of the first inning, first pitch, ball one. Second pitch, ball two. People starting chatting. Oh, I told this guy, doesn't look like he's got it today. I'm not so sure. Next pitch, ball three. Yeah, I never should have given him that contract. This guy's a loser.
I was exactly.
When ball four pitch walk to start the game, the place like erupted in negativity. Like, I couldn't believe it. And of course, the Red Sox won the game. You know, pitcher threw like a three hitter through seven innings or whatever. But it's just funny. I imagine people absolutely losing their minds when Tom Brady left. Like, that's just not something that Boston sports, despite the success of all the teams, can handle in their sports DNA.
Dude, like, yeah, people were burning jerseys and stuff. It's like, dude, it was 20 years of just straight dominance. Like,
yeah,
let it go, dude. Like, I'll be an old guy someday being like, oh, the Patriots used to be amazing, and they'll be like the Browns or something. No, like, I love that, man.
Yeah,
man. I never got into you're probably a Blue Jays fan then, huh?
Yeah, massive.
Yeah. I never got into baseball like that. I don't know. I just never got into it.
That's cool.
I played Little League, though. Yeah. I was a Little League player, so I was a little slugger myself.
I believe it. I feel like you're just good at everything, Joe. I feel like you just can figure it out. I mean, we didn't even talk about you going to film school and all. Like, I was reading more about you, and I'm like, wait a second. He went to film school, too? Like, what can't this guy do?
Dude, you're making me blush. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just bored and like to do stuff with my time.
Well, dude, I know you're obviously, you've achieved so much, you know, in your career, and congrats on the new record, but I feel like you're still underrated as an artist. So thank you for coming on here, man, and hanging out with me. Yeah, man, if you want to chill for a little bit, hang out with the chat, feel free. If you got to take off, I understand. You got chickens, you got maple trees.
Killer. Yo, yeah, I have an emo night podcast I got to do right now.
Emo night LA?
I don't know what emo night it is, man.
Yeah, there's a couple now.
Well, yeah, that's cool. It's an emo night, I guess.
That's cool. Well, I'll let you go, man. I want to thank everybody for being here. I'm gonna stick around, answer some questions, hang out with the chat. But Joe, you're a legend, man, and thank you so much for doing this. Thanks for the new music, and all the best with your mental health and everything going on.
Dude, thanks so much. And I just want to say, like, you inspired me to make music and to be a singer. And hearing those things from you, like, means the world to me. So keep on keeping on, dog. I appreciate you.
You too, man. Keep in touch. All the best.
All right, man. Peace.
Take care, man. So there it is with Joe, a.k.a. Mr. Nothing Nowhere himself. What a guy. What a great conversation. Absolutely delightful. It really was great. And I encourage everybody to go check out his new record if you haven't already. It's called Trauma Factory. There was so much great music, so much diversity on this album. And yeah, I'm going to play a tune from that album in just a second. But before I do that, I want to thank everybody so much for listening to this. Everybody that's coming around on Twitch too. twitch.tv/ShaneTold. Remember, every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm on there with a guest. Wednesdays, Mr. Mike Howell and I, we do the new noise every Wednesday at 6 p.m. And I'm just on there playing music. Hell, actually, I'm on Twitch right now as I'm recording this, doing this live to show people how I edit podcasts. I know. Very confusing, right? But regardless, there's so much to get out of it. So head over to twitch.tv/ShaneTold. Give me a follow. And remember, it's completely free. If you do want to help out the show, check out the All Access Club. Shout out to all my sinners worldwide. I don't know what song to pick. It's not easy. I'm going to go with this one. It's blowing up. Here it is. It's called Upside Down. Nothing Nowhere. On Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next week.
I'm feeling upside down. I saw your car, I know you're back in town. I called your friend, she said you're not around.